Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and we'll start reading tonight in verse number 6. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more zealous of the tradition of my fathers. Well, as we continue to set the groundwork for this epistle, I think it would be good if we went back and revisited yet another thought, one that we developed quite well, but I don't think quite well enough, and that is this. In verse number 10, Paul uses this argument on the Galatians. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, what Paul is saying here is the very fact that the world hates the gospel that he's preached and seeks to pervert it and change it is proof positive of the fact that it is the true gospel. And he speaks of the idea of preachers, himself especially, and Christians in general, of attempting to please men at the expense of the truth. And when we look around ourselves in churchianity today, we just see a whole morass of something that claims to be the gospel. They talk about Jesus, but they're preaching such a perverted gospel that Paul would have said, let them be double accursed. And I think we as Christians need to know and understand this, because very often we have the same thought that David has. And when David said that he was at one time envious of the wicked because of all of their seeming success, it seemed like everything went fine with them and nothing went right with him. But then David said, you know, then I considered their end and I understood. They're having a good run for it right now, but it's not going to go well for them later. And the truth of the matter is that the mind of man is the enemy of God. And the worst enemies that a Christian could have in all of the world are, amazingly enough, not the communists and not even the Muslims. They're bad enough, don't get me wrong. But the worst enemy that a Christian faces is a preacher that is preaching false doctrine, because it's false doctrine that perverts the soul. The Muslims, after they've killed the body, well, they've done all that they can do. But these that would seek to preach a false gospel or pervert the gospel keep people away from the truth. And that's what was said about the scribes and the Pharisees and their false teaching, which, of course, we run into in the book of Galatians, where they were told, you know, you're not entering into the kingdom yourself, and you're seeking to keep anybody else from entering in. They try to shut up heaven unto men. Those are the real dangerous people. And Paul makes that argument here. Now, that doesn't mean that the rest of the world is going to be friendly to us and the rest of the world is going to love us, but it's very hard for a Christian to understand that somebody that dresses in some religious garb and getup and stands behind a pulpit and preaches a message, it's hard for a Christian to understand that that person could be deliberately out to subvert their souls, and yet it's Satan's most effective tool. And that's why Paul is so strong in his message here, that if anybody tries to pervert the gospel that he preached, let them be accursed. He doesn't say let the harlots be accursed. He doesn't say let the publicans be accursed. He says let those that preach false doctrine be accursed. And that's something that's hard, I think, for a Christian to get a hold of. And a lot of Christians are not very selective when they turn on the lobotomy box and start watching some religious program. Then they start listening to what these characters have to say, and then they wonder why they're all confused, and then they come to the preacher and want to get all straightened out because they're all confused, and you get them straightened out, and what do? They go back home and turn on the Crystal Cathedral again. Strategic pause to let it sink in. Well, in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 10, Paul once again says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." And I'll guarantee you the gospel that Rick Warren and Benny Hinn and all the rest of them are preaching is after man. And that's what I'm going to try to establish in your mind tonight. Let God be true and every one of those wicked skull dumps be found liars. Did I say that strongly enough? I will when the Lord gives me the words. So what's the principle that we find in verse number 10? You can either please man or you can please God, but you can't do both. Now, why is that? Somebody tell me why that is. That's exactly right. Paul puts it in another place in his writing in the book of Romans that the natural or worldly mind is the enemy of God. The natural man is the enemy of God. So you cannot seek to please men and at the same time please God. You just have to forget that idea, and we might as well just get our minds right about that right now. There's no two ways about it. When you preach a message that's pleasing to God from this book, the world is going to hate you. Mark it down. The greatest series of alarm bells that ought to ever go off in the mind of a Christian, and especially the mind of a preacher, is when people start speaking good of you. That ought to be setting off alarm bells. Let's turn now to Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 1, and we'll look at some scriptures that bear that out. Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse number 1. Oh, I thought it was just the Democrats that were the enemies of God. No, they have company. The Republicans are in there too. And so are most religionists. Things haven't changed in 2,000 years. Behold, Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse number 1. "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, 'These are the religious creme a la creme of the day.'" If there was anybody that was religious, it's these characters. They go about naming the name of God. Verse number 2. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It's a gift, by whatsoever thou might be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Get a load of that, Benny. And Rick Warren. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand, that which goeth into the mouth not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou not that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? Whoopee! Even the disciples are concerned about what the Pharisees think. But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do ye not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth and goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Wow. Even the disciples are upset because the Pharisees and scribes, who they greatly respected, are offended. Jesus hit them right between the eyes. Why don't your disciples follow the traditions of the fathers? Notice, they didn't say the scriptures. They said the traditions of our fathers. You know, Baptist tradition's about as good as the tradition of the Pharisees and the scribes. It's what saith the word. Well, Jesus answers their stupidity. You ought to be thinking more about what the word of God says than what the tradition of your fathers said. Aren't they the ones that killed the prophets? Aren't they the ones that were carried away into Babylon because of their unrepentant wickedness? And you want to tell me about the tradition of your fathers? Well, try this on for size. Verse number 3. Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Now he brings up some scripture. And he goes right to the heart of the matter. Honor thy father and thy mother. But what was their tradition? When mom and dad got old and they didn't want to take care of them, they let them go out and beg in the street. How were they honoring their father and mother? Well, all that money I got down in the bank, that's a gift to the temple, so I can't give it to you. But of course, I leave it in my bank account. It's in trust. Sorry, Mom. If you're really quick on your feet, you can beat the dogs out in the street to the scraps that are thrown out the windows. That's exactly what they did. Oh, that doesn't go on today. Oh, bet me. Bet me. Turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 16. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 16. Let's look at another scripture that deals with what we brought up a moment ago. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Wow, that's some pretty good advice. The light of the body is the eye. It is therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. How much plainer would that need to be? You know, the religious hypocrites like to make a big show of things. They dress up in all their mysterious garb. They surround themselves with a scene of grandeur so that the worshipers, when they come in, just stand in awe of the things that are going on. They get together huge crowds and raise great sums of money. All of the things they do to be seen openly. But God knows their hearts. And if their eye be dark, then how great is that darkness that's in them? They cannot serve God and mammon, and neither can we. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 13. Lest you think I'm making this up. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 13. I mean, that last passage of scripture we read could have been mistranslated or something. Yeah, I don't either. Amen. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 13. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. You wonder why they hated the Apostle Paul? For the same reason that they hated our Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't concerned with the things of men. He wasn't trying to be rich and famous. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. They hated him for it. In fact, the scripture says that they hated him without a cause. Turn to Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 19. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 19. Why did they despise Paul? Because every true teacher of the gospel from the time of our Lord until today has been hated and despised because he's preaching a message that doesn't set well with this world. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given in you that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee into another, for verily I say unto you, you shall have not gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. But if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Now I could continue right on reading to the end of the chapter and keep on making the same point. If they accused Jesus of being Beelzebub and having the spirit of the devil, what do you suppose the religious are going to say about us? And by the way, mark it carefully down. It wasn't the harlots and the publicans and the drunks and the tax collectors and all those that would have been considered by the Pharisees and scribes the rabble. They never said that Jesus had Beelzebub. It was the religious crowd. It was the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees. The denominations. I don't care if it's Catholic or Methodist, Presbyterian or Baptist. It's exactly the same thing. Men would rather climb the denominational ladders than they would to preach the truth. All these years, nothing has changed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 1. They despised our Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 1. For yourselves, brethren, know that our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Not everybody liked it. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. We could have taken up a Western offering. We could have kept passing the plate till nobody jingled when they walked. But we didn't. Because we're not interested in the things of the world. We're not interested in pleasing men or looking good. We're interested in preaching the truth of the Word of God. That was pretty important to Paul. Any true teacher of the Word of God will be despised. Get that straight in your mind. John chapter 15 and verse number 18. John chapter 15 and verse number 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. That's pretty clear. When somebody hates a gospel preacher, they hate the gospel preacher because they hate the God that sent him. Strategic pause to let this sink in. It's supposed to be this way. Relax. James chapter 4 and verse number 4. James chapter 4 and verse number 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And when he says adulterers and adulteresses, he's not talking about a physical act. He's talking about those that would pervert the gospel, pervert the word of God, and go a-whoring after the doctrines of Balaam. Go a-whoring after the things of the world, where it's more important to have a huge budget and a big crowd and make a showing for the world and get called in to counsel the president. Those are the important things. No, they're not. No, they're not. Why do you suppose Bill Clinton would call in Billy Graham instead of a true man of God? Something to chew on, isn't it? Jude, verse 11. Jude, verse 11. Let's see what Jude has to say about that crowd. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, How that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Jude isn't talking about the harlots and the publicans and the drunkards. He's talking about religious leaders that mislead, that have gone away from the truth. And look what he said in verse number 11, just to sum it up. Woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain. And what was the way of Cain? He brought an offering unto the Lord. He did everything God told him to do, but he made some small change, didn't he? And God had not respect unto his offering, for without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And some of these monkeys in Baptist churches standing in pulpits that take the blood out of their messages because that's just too hard. Man, we can't keep visitors. We won't have people joining the church if we tell them that the wages of sin is death. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. They don't want to hear that. That's right. They don't want to hear it. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is no place for them to appear to congregate themselves. No wonder the pews are full of tares. They have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. Man, they'll preach anything if it pays good. I'm convinced that there's Baptist preachers that'd throw their hat in the ring to be anointed Pontifex Maximus next if it paid good enough. Have offerings will travel. Jumping from church to church looking for a bigger paycheck. Looking for greater fame among the so-called brethren. And perished in the gainsaying of Corey. I'm not preaching this for them because they won't listen. The die is cast for them. They're clouds without water, trees without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? A lot of people going to hell out of pulpits. And a lot of people going to hell out of pews. Maybe the message tonight helps us to understand why Paul was so adamant about what he said in the book of Galatians. If anybody comes to you and preaches any other gospel other than what I have preached, it isn't a gospel. It has no life in it. You can believe it if you want to, but it won't get you to heaven. It's poisonous. And he doesn't so much come after the people that have received the message as he does those that have preached it. If anybody comes to you and preaches any other gospel, even if it's an angel from heaven, let him be accursed. I think this thing was pretty important to Paul. That's why the book of Galatians doesn't get a whole lot of study. Let's close out by going back to the book of Galatians. And maybe this will make a little bit better sense now why Paul uses the strong language that he uses. Because there are false teachers come in that have their own agenda, and it's not the agenda of Christ. They want to do the same thing that the rich and famous in churchianity today want to do. And they're smart enough to realize that straight is the gate and narrow is the way and few there be that find it. So if they want a mega church, they got to fill it with tares because there won't be enough wheat. Oh, preacher, don't you believe in revival? You bet I do. great dose of it would be a good thing about right now. But I could take many a class period recounting to you the errors in doctrine that came out of the Welsh revivals. It doesn't take Satan very long to get busy, because there's Galatianizing teachers that follow around every teacher of the truth, and they love to wreak wreck and ruin wherever they can. They're doing the devil's work. No, our Lord Jesus didn't have Beelzebub, but they do. And I don't care what kind of fancy getup they wear, how refined their speech is. They're devils in disguise. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. That's why Paul uses the language that he does. Let's read it in closing. Verse number 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. As again we said before, so say I now again, just to make sure that we didn't miss the point. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Well, where could a person find the gospel today? Paul isn't around. How about Romans to Philemon? How about Romans to Philemon? There's the message to the New Testament church. And if you want to measure anybody's accuracy to the true gospel, is his message from the Apostle Paul. Does it come out of Romans to Philemon? Oh, but Pastor, you just read a bunch of stuff out of the Synoptic Gospels. And from John. Yes, I did, because the principles are there. The principles are there. The devil has always been trying to destroy the work of God through all of the dispensations from the Garden of Eden until today. Hopefully, this might clear up some of the questions you might have in the back of your mind that you haven't gotten around to asking yet. Let's pray.